Well, greetings this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a blessing to be here again. Seems like a long time since we were here. It's a blessing to be here. Enjoyed the wedding yesterday. Bring you greetings from Ohio, from Shining Light. Part of me wants to say from Faith. But it's a blessing to be here this morning. Could we all rise for prayer? Lord, we bow our hearts before you this morning and thank you for caring for us and the blessing that we can gather here this morning freely and open your word. And so we've been doing so here and looking at your faithfulness and also the seriousness of hearing your heart, your message for us. And thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our sacrifice. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to come and do your Father's will and seal the new covenant with your own blood, giving your very life for us. Lord, it is our desire that we could live and walk worthy of the calling we have through that sacrifice you made, provisions you made for us to get right with you, and that our sins can be forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing, being able to have a clear conscience. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray, God, this morning as we look at your word, that you would feed us, nourish us, Lord, stir us. Motivate us. As we look at our lives, Lord, what you've done for us, and we have life left here. We have this moment in our hands. We don't know how long. But God, it's our desire that we can be fruitful here on this earth. We can bring honor to you. We can be a blessing to other people. And that we can be faithful laborers and servants in your kingdom. Just come bless your word this morning. Pray you guide my heart, guide my thoughts, Lord. Just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. That was a different subject, brother. I think we ought to preach that some more. What do I have to do to be lost? I will admit you were dangling carrots in front of me in Hebrews years ago. I taught through the book of Hebrews. Some of you will remember that. And lately, I've been back in Hebrews. And I enjoyed the book of Hebrews. Maybe I'll just need to stop right there. Because I have a whole subject here I'd like to address. And I don't have 15 minutes for a bunny trail. So praise God. Like to talk about a subject I hope you've heard before. Wherever there's a body of believers, this is needed. I'm assuming we're right with God this morning. I'm assuming we love the Lord. I'm assuming we have the power of the Holy Ghost within our hearts and lives. Everything is going absolutely great, right? And if this subject is not needed here, just take it as that was an encouraging word to keep on going. There is the possibility that there's a few of us here that need some encouragement in this area. Might even need, for those of you that work on motors, the carburetor screws need adjusted sometimes so it runs better. We might need a few adjustments in the way we think. Not a difficult subject. The title is Caring for One Another. Caring for One Another. Not a difficult subject. But what does the Bible say on this subject? This is a longer introduction than I usually do myself. But loving one another, caring for one another. I've talked about this numerous times in different messages over the years. I don't know how many outlines I have. I didn't go searching for that. But what I do know is it's good for me to come back and look at this subject and refocus a little bit, sort of redirect my thought and my mind. So I titled it Caring for One Another. Love one another, as that phrase is 12 times in the New Testament. I'd like to read just a couple of them. Encourage you that you could maybe turn to the book of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 12, 14, 15 with different verses, different times, and there's going to be a lot of different verses. There's no way for us to turn to them all because I'm going to need to keep moving just to get through it. And the point is not to see every verse this morning. So John 13, verse 33 to 35 reads like this. Little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, but a new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. This is from our Lord Jesus Christ. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, would it be enough right there that Jesus was so emphatic about it, this one time that he's talking it, but this is 12 times. I'm not going to turn to all of them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. But by him ye do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye purified your souls unto obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love, that's a pure love of the brethren, see that ye love one another out of a pure heart fervently. We're to love each other out of a pure heart fervently. This one is asking for attention. It's a mark of the church. Thus the world looks on to see a care and a love one for another in the church is a mark of the church. By this shall they know that you're my disciples. Also, greet one another. We find this 5 times in the New Testament. I'm going to read one of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 11 says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the love of God and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. Greet one another. It's 5 times in the New Testament. Then I have just one another. A whole list of them here. And I'm going to try to keep my eye on the clock because I might start taking shortcuts in some of them. It's a big subject in the New Testament. And that's what I'm trying to refresh your hearts in this morning, is this is a big subject. It's an important subject. And it's, if we get this one right as the saints of God, much else will fall into place. And I think our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, we started here with him saying, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Another title we could use this morning is just one anothering. One anothering. Or you could say othering instead of being. We're very familiar with mean. It's othering instead of mean. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Romans 14, verse 11 through 13. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of you shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another. We like to do that one another, where we judge one another. He said, "As let us therefore not judge one another anymore. But judge rather, this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Romans 15, verse 5 through 7. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be one with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another. Receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. A receiving one of another. Romans 15, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also able also to admonish one another. Admonish one another. And I think that's in a good and a healthy way. Maybe we need to open our hearts to receive. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to have these in order going through. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Isn't that a contrast? By love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Now that would never happen in the church. People that are born again, set free, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and are able to overcome sin, would never bite and devour or consume one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, we shall also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. And I should be making a list of do's and don'ts here, I guess, on one another. But some of these we naturally want to do, and others we need encouragement to pick them up. Ephesians chapter 4, here's the flip side. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another. In love. He didn't leave it just one another. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Can I just say one to another? Those are big ones. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. First Thessalonians chapter 4, I was going to read verse 13 through 18. This is about the return of Christ. and that one day He will come in the clouds. And He ends by saying, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Sounds like we should talk about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, maybe I'm getting mixed up. I'm going to read this one. Starting in verse 5 through 11. Ye are all the children of light and children of the day. You're not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Again He says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also ye do. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But He says, exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be disheartened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Here's a right provoking. And it's one another. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Have several here that is one another's with the apostrophe S. A very common one to us in John chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. Ye call me Lord, Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. We could part there a while as to what should be going on in the church in washing one another's feet. And we could bring things like admonishing and comforting and encouraging, and some of these scriptures we've read, we could just bring them right back in there. We should be one anothering. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are several here that are one to another. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 through 10. And above all things, be fervent, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Well, haven't we read enough that we could close the book and go home? And yet, is it true that we struggle with these things? Is it true that we struggle with these things? We find them hard sometimes. When someone should one another me, it's easy to see what they should do. But when it goes the other way, I do okay at times. Other times, So I have 5 points here that I'd like to just look at, maybe from another perspective, that may help us in areas. I'm not going to give this message as this is the answer for this subject. I think this is one that we can work on, work together on, and work on some more. I think we can have how many different perspectives that help us. The first thing I'd like to look at is gifts in the body. Gifts in the body. And I'm going to just suggest here this morning that gifts in the body, having different makeups of who we are, gets in the way for us at times with one anothering. And if we can understand that, it can help us relate to each other. Gifts in the body. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "And not beholding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, knit together, gather increases with the increase of God." We need to hold the head, which has the body by joints and bands being nourishment ministered, knit together, increased with the increase of God. I'd like to turn to also Ephesians chapter 4 for a couple verses. Then I'm coming back to Romans chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to read verse 15 and 16 first. It says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, we use the example of our own body, which is what he's doing there. And just take the hand. How much value would my hand have without any fingers or a thumb? Some. But would be severely handicapped, right? So I have a complete hand here. I'm aware not everybody has a complete hand, but I do. And sometimes as a church, we're not complete for varying reasons. So my index finger can do things that my little finger can't. Anybody dispute that? Is that right? What about my thumb? Thick, stubby thing. I don't use my thumb. If your thumb's all you have left, you'll figure out how to use him in spots where I use my index finger. But, clumsy thing. Should we just get rid of him? What happens to my fingers when I get rid of my thumb? They majorly lose their effectiveness, right? But my thumb is not like my index finger. But what a pair they are, right? And they have to accept that they're different and that they're fitly joined together. This joint back here, the first joint in my index finger, doesn't do the same thing as the tip of my index finger, does it? But they need each other. And they're different. What he tells us, we're to function together as a body, every joint supplying. That goes down to this little pinky finger, whatever you want to call it, that's really just creating balance in my hand, right? And the balance creator in church can be a nuisance sometimes, right? Should we just get rid of him? No, we need him. But we need to understand we're filling different places. And once I get annoyed at you, love one another gets very tacky. Correct? It's like the oil's all gone and it's starting to grind. Then there's wear. So we're to function as a body. Different joints together, every joint supplying. Ephesians 4 verse 11 and 12. Says God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And he gives us the reason why. He says it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. God has put gifts in the body as a church to perfect us, to make us whole, to make us function well. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Till we all come, and I don't have these couple of these verses, till we all come to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, to a full man, full stature in Christ. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." It says, "For we are members in one body, and all members do not have the same office." I have not the same office. "So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Now in verse 3, he addressed a very important subject. He said that we should not think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. I think this becomes a problem in one anothering. This becomes a problem in the body functioning together. When I think too much of myself, and our natural response is, well, I'm either very important or I'm not worth anything. You know, both of those are a problem, and probably both of those are pride. God wants us to, in humility, be who He made us to be, let us allow ourselves to be perfected there and be used there. And I'm not it. I am not it. I'm just one of a whole body. But together, God wants to do things. And this whole thing of thinking too highly of myself really gets in the way of one anothering and a body edifying itself together. Okay, let's go on down. We were reading in Romans chapter 12. I stopped in verse 5. Verse 6 and through 7 and 8 say, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us," and I believe this is from God, Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. And I'd like to keep going in Romans 12, but we can't this morning. I'm not planning to go way deep into this. But here again, he's saying God has given us different gifts. Different gifts. First Corinthians 12, verse 14, 24 through 27 says, our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body. God has made us with different gifts, with different people. When you use the example of a body, an actual body, we're different parts. He wants no schism in the body. In chapter 12, he says, don't think too highly of yourself. Now he says, I don't want a schism in the body. And when we promote ourselves, it'll cause a schism. But that the members should have the same care one for another. This is a high challenge, but, you know, we can try to not have favoritism in how we care for everybody around us. But now if we truly have the same care, then I'm going to care about you like I care about me. That's tough. The Bible talks about that in marriage as well, in Ephesians 5. We take care of ourselves. We understand ourselves. We should have the same care one for another. For whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particulars. But we have different gifts and different members in the body. We have different gifts, different members in the body. You know, going back to Romans chapter 12, it talked about giving and serving and come back to it here. Ministry, giving, mercy. You know, that person that naturally just ministers to people and serves them. The person that connects with giving. The merciful person, they're more tuned to the people around them and how they feel. Some of these people have an uncanny ability to notice what is going on in somebody else's life and a hard time they're facing, and they'll show up with a meal when you haven't told anybody. They'll show up with some flowers. They'll show up with a card. It might be a phone call. How can I help you? And a whole host of the rest of us right through life and we have no clue. I'm going to ask a question. Should the prophet and the teacher, the exhorter and the ruler also notice? Or is it not their calling in life to do one anothering? We'll just take that part of the scriptures out for them. I'm a person like that I just ask about. I haven't been able to rest with that. Somehow, I need to learn too. And if you're that kind of person, I just encourage you, watch the mercies. Watch the ministry people that serve and the givers. And I'll be honest, you often don't even find out what they did They do it where you don't see it and it just happens. But if we can one another, it brings a togetherness in the body where we're caring for one another. And I don't believe that it's God's will that a certain segment of the church does all the one anothering. I think that's for all of us. I'm struggling with this board this morning. There's a couple things that I wanted to do up here, and I don't want to mess up this board. But I have to do something here. So that little dot is me. How's that? Oh, they'll put the other one? Hey, that's good. Let's do that. Nice. So I'm going to come about here. So this dot is me, and the circle is my world. I wanted to say my little world. That's my world. And if we make another circle, be my family. That's still a pretty tight circle. We could make another circle and call it extended family. It's still growing. How big a circle is being focused on our extended family? How much of the world have we missed? Most of it. Granted, we can't do everything in this world. We have our spot to fill. But do you think it's God's will that we should be focused? Let's just start with the inner circle, just on me. Is that God's will? Yeah, I think we know that answer. What about our family, our immediate family? Should we just focus there? Now, for another day, maybe for another person, another message would be, you must focus on that circle. We're in trouble if we don't. But should we stop there? And we already answered that the extended family is also not a very big circle. Well, let's put the church family there. That's growing. And that's actually the level we're talking about here today. Church family. And when we talk about church family, we could talk about a local body, and we could talk about a bigger circle within a church circle that we associate with. And you could take it a whole step further in more, and you could start putting layers and layers around there. What about our community? What about the world? I should have started in the middle, but I didn't, because I might want to do something else on the board yet this morning. And I'll just say, I'm going to at some point need someone to help me write things on the board, and I need to keep moving if we're going to have time for that. What's our focus? How big is our focus? And as we look at these different members, should we expect the thumb to be an index finger? Should we expect an ear to be an eye? No. When we realize who we are, and we need to accept each other there and not expect what doesn't work for that person. I don't have this on my paper, but depending who gets up here to lead singing, it gets pretty interesting, right? And we say, well, you know, maybe we should be a little discerning who has a gift to do that and who doesn't. Well, we can take that all the way through church life. Okay, number two, focusing on others. So as we, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, and then also 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 are the two scriptures I picked for this. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Then he simply says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I believe this becomes an intentional decision. That I not just notice what I'm doing, what we are doing as a family, but I intentionally decide I'm going to notice what other people are doing. Now, I don't know how your winter's been. I'm just going to tell you that our family, and in a sense you could call it extended family because we have married children, but when I say our family, it includes all of them, for the last 2 months have had a major struggle with sickness. To the point where it's, ugh. Have you ever had a time like that? Where it's just a tough time. Maybe it wasn't sickness. It was something else. And it's just one thing, another thing, another thing, and another thing. And we think, my. Everybody else is going on with life, right? And having a good time. And once you sat at home for a month, you really can be thinking about poor me, right? I'm going to ask for a raise of hands because most of you have not done this. And we get to where we think my situation, our situation is worse than anybody else's. I see some heads nodding. You're an honest crew. You know that's not true. That's not true. When we think like that, we become very inner focused. We need to intentionally decide, I'm going to focus on what other people go through too. I'm going to open my eyes and listen for what I can hear. I'm going to open my eyes and see what I can see. What do other people experience? You see, the server ministry person has a keen sense that just does that. The rest of us can make a decision, I want a part of that piece too. The Bible tells us to not just think about my own things, but to think about other people's things. In Philippians chapter 2. And I can decide to do that. I might have to work to do that. But that's okay. We work for other things. We work hard for other things. To attain things. We can work on this one. Notice what other people are going through in life. And if we're going to master one anothering, we will need to do that. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says, "Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, and seeketh not her own." Seeketh not her own. It is not easy to provoke charity. Charity thinketh no evil. So as we choose to think about other people's lives and focus on what's going on there and what could I do to one another. Now let's think about a couple examples. Here's a young mom. She does need a care for her little circle. and doesn't have much time to meet the needs of others. That's a reality. That is a reality. Ian, it may be young mom and dad need to take care of our little circle. So as we think about people, let's just compare in our minds a 70-year-old man and a 20-year-old man. I don't know what you're thinking, and the circumstances are going to vary for all of them. I hope at 70, I can still be doing one anothering. But am I right that it'll probably look different than 20? Yeah, it's going to look different. What about a 70-year-old lady and a 20-year-old lady? There's a difference. And I'm here to propose this morning that at a young age, I'm not talking 20. Can I go to 12? Would you allow me to go to 10? Maybe even 8. Whereas a child, you can make a decision, I am going to focus on meeting needs for other people. And a great place to start is right at home with brothers and sisters and mom and dad. And when you start that at a young age, and you do it at home with brothers and sisters and mom and dad, when you get to 20, you will naturally be in the habit of thinking about others. You're at 25 to 30 with a young family stretched to the limit. You'll think different those days than if you didn't learn to think about others. You will think different. This is a decision we make. It's clear in the Bible that we should one another. And there's a whole host of things we just read and didn't even talk about that we can learn and master in this area. But we need to decide to do it in our minds. I'd like someone to help me here. I need somebody that's not afraid to write on the board here to come help me. I'm a thumb. This doesn't go well for me. Go ahead. Thanks, Joe. So, the third point this morning is making a list of needs at Bern Christian Fellowship. I just stuck my head out here and assumed there are a few. But we don't need to do anything embarrassing. Just, you know, someone have one. You think of the church here. What's the kind of thing that someone could apply themselves? Because number four is going to be, how do I reach out and care? And number two, I'm saying as a decision, we identify the need. And then we say, this is how we would go fill that need. And then we'll close with number five. So let's go back to number three. Someone have something for Joe to write down on the board. Yes. Young mothers. Someone else. What are you thinking about back here, Chris? I saw your smile. I'm like, you're thinking about something. Yes, Joe. Elderly in the community. Yeah. Elderly in the community. That's good. I like that. Yes, back here. Widows and widowers in the community. Flowers and visits. Yes, Andy. I do have that on my list here. Find that struggling person and minister to them. Yes. Visiting families. Do you ever do work projects together? Not like you should. There's probably no need for it, right? I'll identify with that. I'll get this myself. Well, I could ask for help. And I'm just going to throw one out here. We had a young man last summer that ran into a glitch in life, a struggle. And on Sunday, that quick, all of a sudden, I'm in connection with him all week long, every day, spending time with him, doing things. And when it was all done, he looked at me and said, "Paul, what do you need done? Can I help you somehow?" And right then I sort of came up blank, but it's been in the back of my mind. Somewhere I'm going to call him and say, I could use a hand over here. I'm too slow in putting my things out there. Yes, Aiden. Amish family that could use visits that have just several of them. Any others yet? I'd like to throw out just a couple broader ones. Sometimes there's things like accidents happen. Health problems come up. And during those times, it presents opportunities. There's a need, and it presents opportunities. Someone lost a loved one. Maybe there's sin that comes up. These are church life things that maybe we're not thinking about right now. But in the next half year, some of these will show themselves. Do you have another one, Mose?
Others are coming out.
It was originally that way, but it fits together with, because this circle here, you know, has community in it as well. It affects who we are. We can't be one way here and another way over there. So, thank you. Okay. Any suggestions on how to meet needs? Be really a blessing, I think, to hear from somebody or a couple of you that you don't understand how everybody misses them. How can people walk past these needs and not see them? So the question is, what can you share with us that helps us see them and connect with them? Anyone? Yes, Al. Pray for the people in need. Okay. Back here. Okay. Do it as a team, as a church body. Yes. If we wait till we have time, we will never get it done. Very, very good. Learn to sacrifice. So when you see it, you make it a priority and just go meet that need. Very good. Anyone else? Give up our own comforts and things we enjoy? What about stepping outside my comfort zone? We have our comfort zones. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm up here with notes this morning. That's comfortable for me. You know me. If all of a sudden right now I need to get up here and preach a message without any notes, I have to deal with something inside. Because I'm out of my comfort zone. Well, we have that in life. Some of us do well with meeting people and walking up to a stranger and talking to them. And the next one of us are like, just, no. And if I get personal for you young people, sitting across the table from people you haven't met at Bible school, some of you are completely fine with that. Some of you enjoy that. Others are, right? We have different comfort zones. But if we're going to be one anothering, we need to be able to step out of them. Anybody else yet? I'll let you keep writing however long you feel here, brother. Thank you. I needed that. I think we're done here, so God bless you. So think about others. Make it a focus. Ask questions. Listen. And before we go on with this ministering thing, sometimes we have people that are struggling, they're in need, and we don't feel anybody is meeting the need. In fact, we tend to pull back. Sometimes we even go sit in a corner somewhere. Mom, quiet. Try to just be out of sight. But we wish somebody would notice and come care about me. So we have nothing personal here. We have somebody like that sitting here. And we have somebody else like that sitting over here. And I'm going to suggest that if these two people get together and care about each other and minister to each other, they could be a blessing to each other. Maybe out of our comfort zone. But if I just stay sitting there, I am focused on this teeny little circle, and I'm not partaking at all in one anothering within the church body. This happens in church. And sometimes it creates very difficult things. And it's not just children. It's older people. People my age. We want to sit in a corner and hope somebody notices and comes my way instead of meeting somebody else and ministering one to another. If we continue that, we're going to feel very, very lonely. Like to point 5 here yet, just talk about givers and takers. Luke chapter 6 verse 38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give in your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with wherewithal, it shall be measured to you again." This is from our Lord Jesus Christ. It sounds like we cannot outgive God. Acts chapter 20, I'm going to read just verse 35 here. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than it is to receive.'" It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I'm going to ask the question, are we givers or are we takers? When somebody talks to me, do they walk away encouraged and refreshed, or do they walk away drained? Do we give inspiration to people, or do we draw from others? You know, if we're all takers, shortly, it'll be all gone, right? If we're all takers, shortly, it'll be all gone. But on the other side of that, if we're all givers, who are we going to give to? So shouldn't it be that we care for one another and we're ministering one to another and the giving and receiving goes around the circle? So that we're not on a one-way street? And many of us here may be in the perfect right place here, but there are some of us that we are focused on giving, 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 and we don't acknowledge our needs. And there's some of us that are more natured that way. There are some of us that are very focused on, "I need, I need, I need, I need." And we never have anything to give anybody else. The Bible says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Oh, I feel so encouraged. Someone just really helped me. And I feel so encouraged. Well, go discover how encouraged you'll feel if you go bless somebody else. It's like going witnessing. You come back full of energy. You're just edified. You share the gospel with somebody. And we could go to Romans chapter 6, no, 10, and read about that's part of the gospel. Testifying for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gives us life. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Galatians chapter 6, and I'm sure you know these verses. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he rejoice in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. So which way is it? Shall we bear each other's burdens, or shall every man bear his own burden? Shall we go with verse 2 or verse 5, or should we take them together? Should we take them together? There is a place for us to take responsibility and bear a burden. You know, young people growing up, especially with young men, you know, you hear this thing, well, it's time to grow up and be a man. Take responsibility. Step forward. Bear your own burden. We went through some really difficult things here a number of years ago at the church, with the thing with Jeriah. And as a ministry, as a family. And in the middle of that, I came to a place where I said, I just need somebody to minister to me. We had an evening where a preacher from another church just came and sat down with us. And he just shared with us, prayed with us, and just blessed us. It's just, he didn't give us any counsel, any direction. He was just there to minister to us that evening. I was like, wow. I had never felt that level of need. Just help us bear a burden. He didn't take our burden away. We had to walk through it. But there's a right place for that, where we bear each other's burdens and we're in this together. Talking about the team back there. We're in this together and we're going to bear one another's burdens. In that, we need to take responsibility ourselves. Care for one another. In closing here, just a couple scriptures and then I have a poem. Romans 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Identify what's happening in each other's lives. Ecclesiastes 11, 1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And sometimes it feels that way. Like you're ministering, helping somebody else. You don't see that there's ever anything in it for you. Well, after many days, you'll find it coming back maybe some other way. View it that way. Don't view it, if I minister to you, you have to minister to me. Be there to one another and care for each other. This poem is an old poem, and some of you might have it memorized. Others, Lord, yes, others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like Thee. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like Thee. Let self be crucified and slain. and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like Thee. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like Thee. Lord, help us and give us grace.